Kiddos, come on. Join me up here. Good to see you today. All right. I need some help. I need somebody that weighs 125 pounds. We've just seen who'll lie. Here. Come on, Josh. You're close enough. Come on up here. You can help me out. Come on, Josh. Josh is 117 pounds, right?
Yep.
117. Come on up. Well, probably with all this that he's got on right now. And Miss Barnes, come on up here. Come on up here. No, Miss Barnes. Y'all remember that, okay? That Bailey volunteered for that. Come on up here. All right, I need y'all to help me out. And anybody here that weighs 15 pounds? We got. Howard, have y'all got Faith in here right now? She's in the back. Okay. Well, she probably weighs more than 15 now. Is she right around that? Okay. Think of the size of a baby. All right. Now I want y'all to stand here because y'all are all going to be involved in the lesson today. Well, here, let me get this. Thank you. Thank you very much. All righty. Now, the story that I'm going to tell you today, can y'all hear me over there?
Yeah.
All right. Is about a giant. Okay? Can y'all think of a giant that was in the scripture?
Goliath.
In fact, he was from a family of giants. He had four brothers that were giants. Now, just so we can get this down, let's see. Now, she hasn't got on those jacked up heels today, so she is she's 5'1". Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Now this story is about Goliath and David. Does anybody know who Goliath belonged to? What was his group of people? They were the Philistines. That's right. And the Philistines and the Israelites were on hills facing each other in battle. And the Philistines did not believe in the Lord God. And they had this champion by the name of Goliath. Now, he was a tall guy. Come over here. Now, I'm going to let Miss Barnes here is going to be about the size of David. David was probably a little over 5 foot tall, not much taller than that. I want you to come over here, Miss Barnes, and stand right here. Right here. All right. Right there behind your son there. And I'm 6'1". We got about 17 inches there. We got about another foot and a half there. Okay. Turn around and look at me, Miss Barnes. All right. This is David. Are y'all listening? Who is this? Goliath. Goliath and... Do you see the difference in the height? And he was proportionally big. He was huge. Every day. Thank you, Miss Barnes. You can sit down right here. Now stay right there. Stay right there. Every day he would come out and he would threaten the Israelite army. He would say bad things about their God. And he would ask them, send out a champion. Send out someone to fight against me. And each day, this went on. It rocked on. David's three brothers, his three older brothers, there were eight of them all together. three of the seven that were left were there in Saul's army. Saul was a big man too, but he wasn't as big as Goliath. Every day, David would come and he'd check on his brothers. He would bring food for them. And finally, he hears what Goliath has to say. And Goliath is threatening them. He said, "Isn't somebody going to do something about it? Isn't somebody going to do something?" He said, "I'll go out and face him." So, does anybody know the first thing he tried to do?
I don't. He had to
Nope, before that. What did he do? Yeah. He tried to put on the armor of Saul. Now, it wasn't as big as Goliath's armor. Come over here, Josh. I want you to. Goliath's armor weighed 8 more pounds than Josh weighed. He weighs 117 pounds. His armor weighed 125 pounds. He had a spear that was, it was huge. The head of it weighed 15 pounds. This guy was humongous. Now Saul, the leader, the king of the Israelites, he was a much smaller guy. Thank you, Josh. You can sit down right there. I may need you again. He was a much smaller guy. He brings out his army for his armor for David, and David tries to put it on, and that armor is too big for him. So David's a little guy. But yet he had the blessing of God upon him. In fact, in the chapter before, chapter 16, when we read the story in 1 Samuel about him, it tells about how David had been anointed by Samuel, and he was eventually going to be the king of Israel. So he tries on the armor. Armor doesn't work. So he says, "I'm going to go out and face the giant." And what does he take, Jimmy? Right. That's exactly right. Oh, he was good with that slingshot. You see, David had actually killed a lion. And so Goliath, when David comes out, he said, What is this? You're going to come out, you treat me like a dog?" Because David has his stick, his shepherd's staff. He said, "You're going to treat me like a dog? And you send this child out?" And David praises the Lord there. And then he slings that stone. It hits him in the head. And he falls. Bam! To the ground. He goes and takes the sword of Goliath that he can barely pick up. And he cuts his head off. Now, some say that the reason why David chose 5 stones that day was because Goliath had 4 brothers. And they were all giants. And he knew that his God could empower him to do anything. I want y'all to know today, as children, as you're growing up, there is nothing, there is no one who is more powerful than the Lord. And you plus the Lord is a majority any day. God's power can come upon you too. He will lead you. That day, a tall giant fell to the ground. And Jesus, the Lord, Yahweh, was glorified to everybody. Now, the Philistines didn't keep their deal, because the deal was whoever won the battle, they would just give up their armies. Anybody know what the Philistines did? They ran, and the Israelites chased them all the way back to their hometown. All the way back. It was a victory for the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these children. Thank you for open minds and hearts. And I pray that you'd go before them. Lord, you'd lead them by your Spirit. They would understand your word clear and plain. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, if you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to 1 Samuel, to that story that I just told to the children. And I want us to work our way very quickly through this passage of Scripture. The Scripture says, "And now the Philistines had gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah, and they camped between Succoth and Azekah in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah, and they drew up in battle array to encounter the Philistines." So they were on either side. Mountains on either side, a hill on either side. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side while Israel stood on the mountain the other, with a valley in between them. And when a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span, that is over 9 feet tall, he had a bronze helmet on his head, he was clothed with scale armor, which weighed about 5,000 shekels of bronze, that is 125 pounds. He also had bronze sheaths on his shins, on his legs, and a bronze javelin slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of it weighed 600 shekels, or 15 pounds, of iron, and the shield carrier also walked before him. Now, this story is about a giant. As you come here today, I don't know what giants you have in your life. Do you have some things that as you begin the new year, 2014, that you believe are bigger than you? Anybody have anything like that that's bigger than you? Of course you do. All sorts of things. We all have giants. We've got to come in agreement about that today. And the question comes, that you wonder whether or not you can trust God with that giant. Do you trust God that He's big enough to fail that giant? Big enough to do something about that giant in your life. It might be finances, it might be a job, it might be a relationship, it might be a strain between you and someone else that's dear to you in your life. But is God big enough to do something about it? And very often, we let fear dictate. Now, the story that I set up for you here in the Scripture, fear had dictated what the Israelites were doing, because every day they would listen to what the giant had to say. Every day they would come out and there would be these threats. And the challenge would be presented before them. And I bet you, many of you today, you're sitting here today, and you've had these things day after day, week after week, in some cases year after year, they've come and threatened you, threatened your life, threatened your livelihood. The intimidation that comes from that. Imagine this. Imagine the words that came forth from Goliath, and then imagine that spectacle. You saw me stand up there. I mean, that is a mountain of flesh and then armored. I mean, you're looking at the comparison of a little guy down here with a BB gun facing an M1 tank. That's the picture. That's the picture. Every day they listen to that. David shows up. Now, you can read the rest of the story. You can go to the chapter before. I misspoke on that early. We're in 17, and the chapter where he is anointed by Samuel goes before in chapter 16. Scripture says, verse 11, "And when Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and they were greatly afraid. Now David, the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah, whose name was Jesse, he had 8 sons, and Jesse was old in his days, in the days of Saul, advanced in years among men. And the 3 older sons of Jesse had gone after Saul into battle." Or he told you about that. Going down to verse 17. "So Jesse said to David his son, 'Take now for your brothers an ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of your brothers. And bring also 10 cuts of cheese to the commander of their 1,000, and look into the welfare of your brothers and bring back news. For Saul and they and all the men of Israel are in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines.' So David rose early in the morning. He left his flock, where he was a keeper, and he took the supplies. And when Jesse had commanded him, he came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array." That is, they're coming as they are arranging to begin the battle, to fight one another. Army against army. "And David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper. And he ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers. And as he was talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines. And he spoke the same words, and David heard them." He heard the threats. "And when all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him, and they were greatly afraid. The men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man who's coming up against us? And surely he's coming up to defy Israel. It will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel.' So David spoke to the men who were standing by him, and he said, 'What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel?'" I want you to see in this story, at the very beginning, David's not buying in to the fear. What is the evil one's primary weapon against us? Fear associated with a lie. They were shrinking back in fear, because who were they trusting that day? They're trusting themselves and not trusting the Lord. They were imprisoned by fear, but David is not. So he asked that question. And then he says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in accord, saying, "Thus it would be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his brother, his oldest brother, when he spoke to the men, and he's listening to this. And so Eliab comes and speaks to David. The scripture says, "His anger burned against him, and he said, "Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle." So here his brother, his own brother, David's own brother, is accusing him of not coming there with the right motive. He's accusing him of coming there just so he can watch the battle and be a bystander. But David said to him, "What have I done now? Was it not just a question? I just asked a question. I wanted to know what was going on and what Saul had offered." And then he turned away from him to another, and he said the same thing. And the people answered. Now down to verse 31. Now, when the words of David, which David spoke, were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fall on account of this man. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine." And then Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against the Philistine and fight with him, for you're but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." Now, what's wrong with what Saul just said to David? It shows he doesn't know David. What has David been doing since his youth? He's been fighting off lions and bears with his own bare hands. So he too is a warrior. Might come in a small package. Now, you see, Saul had been letting Goliath dictate the terms. David flips it. And now suddenly, someone is involved in it that wasn't involved in it before. And who is that? Of God, you didn't see the presence of God flowing there on that battlefield before now, did you? But when David shows up, who is not intimidated, who has put his trust solely in the Lord, there begins the flowing of the presence of God. And David says, "The Lord, Yahweh, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David then, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his garments. He put the bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with his armor. And David girded his sword over his armor. He tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." So he took them off. So he then took his stick. New American Standard says stick, it says staff, in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in his shepherd's bag, even in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Get the picture now. The Philistine came out, Goliath, this mountain of a man, and he approached David, and with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and he saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and with a handsome appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come after me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, "Come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field." How many people do you reckon he had made good on that promise in his lifetime? A life of doing what he wanted according to his gods. And then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted." Now, literally, this what David is, it's a play on words here. He said, "You're coming to me like you're the leader of this army. I'm coming to you with the Lord of hosts on my side, the Lord of all the angel armies, the Lord of all the armies of the world, the Lord of warfare." The Lord who can do His will and perform His plan anytime He wants. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands. This day, today, not tomorrow, not next week, but today, He will deliver you into my hand. And that's a picture of the day of the Lord. Here we have a picture of what happens when God gets involved in something. That's a picture of what we see coming, and we're looking forward to that day of the Lord when He's going to put everything right in the world. as we're looking forward to that in history, that event to take place. But here is a picture, a little preview, a little hors d'oeuvre, if you will, of what can happen when God gets involved in something. And here is David not speaking in arrogance. Oh no, these are not arrogant words. In fact, the conventional wisdom would be that these are words of a stupid man, of a crazy man, of a man who has no sense. How could you go out there in battle like this? This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I will strike you down and remove your head from you. What do you call that? That's a prophecy. He's speaking a word of prophecy over that giant. He's speaking truth over him. This is what's going to happen. Hey, it's not bragging if you can do it. But it's not David that's doing it, is it? He's trusting in the Lord. This is not his first rodeo. He's been there. He has seen God do things. And I will give the dead bodies of your armies of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is an Elohim, a God, the God, Yahweh, in Israel. You've been taunting him long enough. And now I'm going to be the instrument of his judgment on your life. And that all the assembly may know that Yahweh does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. Then it happened, when the Philistine rose and he came and he drew near to meet David, David ran quickly. Now, if you haven't gotten a picture of the absolute asinine, according to conventional wisdom, the asinine antic of this young man, he is running against this giant. Have the picture of that? You got it in your mind? He runs quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag. He took from it a stone and he slung it and he struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell to the ground. What accuracy. Who was guiding that stone? And David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. And he struck the Philistine and he killed him. But there was no sword in his hand. He killed him. Graveyard. Imagine it. Imagine the thump. I mean, how many hundred pounds? I hadn't done the math on this, but a guy this big got to weigh 4,500 pounds. That's that big. I mean, he's huge. And imagine him just thump. Look at the picture. Look at all the faces now. Because you see, there was not just disbelief on one side of the battle line. The unbelief that day was on both sides of the battle line. You see, that's our problem. Yeah, there's unbelief out there. But the unbelief we can do something about is the unbelief that's in here, in us. And the battle turned. Then David ran and he stood over Philistine and he took his sword out to complete the prophecy. And he drew it out of the sheath and he killed him. He cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Evil never keeps any deal that it makes. You make a deal with the devil, he'll crawfish on every deal you make with him. Because what were they supposed to do? The Israelite champion wins. What were they supposed to do? They were supposed to lay down their arms and surrender. Well, they laid down their arms all right, but they didn't surrender. The only thing you could recognize was their backside as they were running back to their city. The Scripture says in verse 52, "And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the valley to the gates of Ekron, their city. And the slain Philistines lay along the way of Sherim, even to Gath, to Ekron, and the sons of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and plundered their camps. Then David took the Philistines' head and weapons in his tent." Now when Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this young man?" And Abner said, "By your life, O king, I don't know." And the king said, "You inquire whose son the youth is." So when David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the Philistine's head in his hand. Imagine what that looked like. Because his head's probably going to be about the size of David's torso. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of your servant, Jesse the Bethlehemite." Now it came about, when he had finished speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. Now here's a couple of things I want you to get here about the power of faith. David that day saw things through the eyes of God. I don't know what your giants are, but until you start seeing things through God's eyes, you're going to see them through the looking glass of fear and lies. The tools of the enemy. It's time to start seeing the battlefield. If you don't believe yet that your life is a battlefield, anybody not believe that? Anybody been in battle this week? Huh? You been fighting anything? You better believe it. It's a struggle. It is a battlefield of life. And God has called us to be part of His army and to fight the battle. But first of all, we've got to see the battlefield the way He sees it. And the way He sees it is He's Lord over all of it. Secondly, you can't expect to keep using man's means of fighting the battle and get God's results. You can't do it. 2 Corinthians says talks about these are not the weapons of our warfare, the weapons of the flesh. They're not the weapons of our warfare. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the gifts of the Spirit. We have the Word of God, sharper than a two-edged sword. We have prayer, and God can change things. He can change us. Now, we pray all the time for Him to change the circumstances, but many times what He's interested in doing is changing the person that's living in the circumstances. Are you willing to put yourself out there? Thirdly, you must begin to trust God and turn your giant over to God. When David is running to meet the giant, what has already happened? Is there a plan B? Is there a backup plan? No, it's just like the conquistadors, you know, when they came into South America. I forget which one it was. He brings them out to the shoreline, to the beach. and he sets fire to the ships. And he turns around and faces them to the jungle. He says, now this is the way we're going. That's what David did. He was running. But what was he running in? He was running in the power of God, not his power. Fourth, what has God put in your hand? They tried to put other things. Saul tried to put other things in David's hand. But God had already decided he was going to use that staff. And what did he use David's staff for? His stick. That was his information campaign. Because what did the stick say? What part of Goliath did the stick attack? It went at his mind. The staff was in his hand there. And he said, what are you doing coming to me with sticks? Am I a dog? Do you see? Another South Georgia analogy, little phrase, hit dog always hollers. That hit dog hollered. The staff, when you know, people say, well, why is he even talking about the staff? The staff was part of the information campaign. Now, what are those things in your life? What information are you distributing? What signals are you putting out to the enemy? To the world in which you live, about who you serve. He was using what God had already put in his hand. A staff and a sling. He chooses those stones. And just as a side note, not only was God, and I believe, I'm one of those, I do believe that the reason he chose five stones was for Goliath and his four giant brothers. Because God didn't just have a plan for that day. He's got a plan for all the days that'll come. I know that's what some of you are thinking, but if I trust God today, but what about tomorrow and the next day? Uh-uh. You trust God for today. He's going to take care of tomorrow and the next day because he's got a plan. You must also follow through in obedience. That's part of discipleship. In America evangelicals, we are prone toward event Christianity. And yes, there are events, but it's a process. Our discipleship is a process. The way you came, the way you arrived, the just shall live by faith is the process by which we will live our lives. He followed through. Not only did the giant fall with the stone to the head, but now he cuts his head off and they continue the battle. Also, I call on you today as we look at the power of faith in the Lord to remember the preparation that the Lord had been doing. Had already been preparing David for this day. In the chapter before, we see that he was anointed by Samuel. I call on you today to look back to all the experiences that God has not wasted on you. Where you have sat at the feet of Jesus, God has taught you. He wants to bring all that to bear, all that preparation on your life today. Not for us to walk around and act like we've never been taught anything in the Lord, where we've never experienced anything in the Lord. You've had experiences in the Lord. You've seen God do things. Now let's bring it all to bear. What is God doing in your life? And finally, you need to be ready to receive the blessing that God has on the other side. It's unfortunate that the people who imposed those chapter boundaries, which by the way, you know, chapters and verses are not inspired by the Holy Spirit. You know that, right? Those are man-made additions later on. Because when you draw a line there after verse 58, you don't get the whole story. Because part of the story is that that day begins the relationship with Jonathan. had a kid in one of my discipleship classes years ago in inner city. He would not be called Jonathan. His name was Jonathan. That day began a wonderful relationship between two men that God had designed. And what a gift Jonathan and David were in their friendship. As iron would sharpen iron. It was a gift. God always has a gift for you after the battle. But it's after the battle. And after your obedience. Make sense? Well, that's all I got to say about that. What's God said to you today? And I gave you seven, bang, 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 bang. You can listen to them again this afternoon if you like to on the net. What are you going to do about it? I want to pray for you. We're not going to have our normal ministry time today because I want to send you out with this message for you to contemplate it today. Okay? All right? Let's pray. Now, Lord, we've come here today. And let's just pause for a moment. And why don't you let God give the Lord access now to your thoughts? What are the giants in your life? Let's picture them right now. Just like that, Lord, you had a snapshot of all the giants in this room. Lord, we choose today not to believe the lie, but to walk in faith in the truth. And we release these giants into your hand. And we ask you, Lord, that you will strike them down by your power. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Now look this way. We'd sure like to get those cards from you if you filled out a card today. And how many of you changed email address this week? How many of you would lie about that and not raise your hand? We'd sure like to get those cards from you. We'd like, if you have an offering to bring, you can put the offering in the basket back there and baskets up here. I'll leave you to your own devices to do that. Now I send you out in the name, in the authority, in the power of God the Father, Yahweh, who has authority over all, the love of Jesus Christ, His Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sikkim.